together and try to find somebody to run it all. But the problem is getting everybody to change. Would you have thought that the Titanic called United States could have turned on a dime as it has in the past several months? We have seen so much happen in our country with breakneck speed. The Bible says in this passage that this beast that he saw rise up is an individual. But oftentimes a beast or an individual represents the entire nation. And so it is with this individual. It is an individual, but he will ultimately become the head of the entire system of government that is represented in the seven heads, the ten horns. And it says, and upon the horns are ten crowns. That shows us that these are diadems. These are actual kings. These are actual leaders of nations in and of themselves. And it says then upon his head the names of blasphemies. Now, you got to kind of realize he's going to use that metaphor again later in chapter 17, where this harlot, which is the false church in chapter 17, is going to be full of names of blasphemy. You see, the fact is that all throughout history, religion has run states. Kings excommunicated by popes and so forth. A lot of drama going on in our history. We have what's known as the Dark Ages because there was the effort to keep everything done in Latin. And Latin means that the peasant couldn't know anything. You know, if you didn't know Latin, you had to really rely upon somebody to tell you what was going on. And the Dark Ages gave way to, of course, the Reformation, the times of the Enlightenment, and so forth. Well, let's move on. Verse 2 says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." We'll start from the end of that verse. The dragon, of course, is the devil. We met him back in chapter 12. He's clearly the devil, Satan himself. You will remember, perhaps, in the Gospels, when Jesus got his temptation and was taken and driven by the Spirit out into the wilderness, that the devil appeared to him, and at one point he said, "All of the glory of all of the kingdoms of the earth can be yours if you will bow down and worship me, for it has been given to me." Folks, he has the right and ability to give power to whomever he will. And I want you to not miss the significance of this. Because if he has it then, in Jesus' time, and if he has it here in this passage when Antichrist arises, then he has it today. And he uses his ability to give power to whom he will. If you ever sit back and scratch your head and wonder how the world can go certain directions like it has in recent years, not just the past year, but years, where we look the other way on so many issues of character, integrity, and right and wrong, issues of putting the Ten Commandments in closets, issues of trying to rip down stained glass windows that in Washington that bespeak a heritage of Christian fervor in this country, all of the spirit of the age. If you ever wondered, why would they do that? It's because the devil himself is constantly at work in the machinery. You and I live in a day where we don't believe in the devil like we ought to. We don't think we have anything to be worried about. But the devil is alive and well, and he's living on planet Earth, and he hates the believer with a fervency unmatched by anything we could possibly imagine. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom he may devour." I think one of our parts of our gospel ought to be to remind ourselves, you go dabbling in the foolishness of this world, and the devil will have you for lunch. And many believers are in the ditch today, on the sidelines of the world, because they've been bit somehow. The devil has exploited it, stirred up a root of bitterness, and they've said, "I'm not going to take it anymore. I'll just stop going to church." Had a guy tell me the other day, "Yeah, my granddaddy was a preacher, and I know I'm okay, me and Jesus." Next 10 minutes, in 10 minutes, in the same place, that guy spewed maybe 10 swear words right in my presence, knowing that I was a preacher. He wasn't talking to me, but he was just letting it go because he has this cheap grace idea that he's going to be okay. Now, folks, is he saved or isn't he? I don't know. You know what? It's possible. But I'm telling you, it's not so probable. If something hasn't been wrought and worked into the heart to change your life, Do not deceive yourselves. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. If you don't cultivate a fervor and a hunger for God, chances are you have no appetite for it. People who say, I don't go to church because really it's no good. I don't really enjoy it. Something wrong with their appetite. You know, when you go to a nursing home, what is the hardest thing for them to do? It's to get the good menu. Last thing to go when you get older are your sweet taste buds. That's why they like sugar. Give me some sugar. And they don't mean the kids. They just want some candy. They're past the kiss thing. They just want some candy. And what I'm saying is that we understand that their appetite is shot because age is setting in many times. Folks, if you have no appetite for God, then there's probably something wrong down in your core. Your nature has never been changed. So don't give up your walk with God. Don't give up your seat in the church. Don't walk away. Find good one. If you got problems with a church, realize they're going to be everywhere. But make sure they're not deal breakers before you leave. If they're deal breakers, then you go find a church that's preaching the Word of God. The devil will animate people throughout history. He did it with Hitler. He did it with Haman in the Old Testament. He did it with Herod when he went after all the babies in Jesus' town where he was born. I mean, he's always animating people. He did it with a guy named Antiochus Epiphanes, and I just wanted to say his name because it's so cool. But he's an ancient historical guy who prefigured the Antichrist, who took a pig and slaughtered it on the altar of the holiest place in Israel to desecrate the place, to get the Jews to get out of town. He hated the Jews, and he was infused, and he was a mini version of what Antichrist will be like. The Bible says in verse 2, this beast which has ravenous, he was like unto a leopard, and he was like unto a bear, and he was like unto a lion. All of these answer to things we find in the book of Daniel. We find that the lion has this majesty, and he answered, and ferocity, and, you know, rip and tear. You know, as beautiful as a lion is, I don't think any of us would want to be in a cage with one. They're pretty awesome. They move with such beauty and grace. But the moment that they turn on you, you are done. And so there's ferocity and there's majesty. Then there's the bear, and that's a lumbering power. He's going to kind of incorporate all of the power of those other kingdoms we mentioned. The leopard reminds us of Alexander, how quickly he took over and conquered the world. One thing he said before he died was, I just grieve one thing, and that's that there are no more worlds to conquer. This is the kind of guy he was. This Antichrist will have speed. He will have lumbering power to destroy like the Medes and the Persians did when they overwhelmed Babylon. And they will have the glory and beauty and grace of Babylon. So this is going to be the apogee of all kingdoms. And it will happen after the rapture, when man has his moment in the sun, and when the devil himself gives his seat, his authority, and his throne to an individual, beginning to set up, if you will, the diabolical trinity, the unholy trinity. You see, one thing the devil always wanted was to be like God. Isaiah 14 says, I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. And then really it's cloud. I will ascend to the height of the cloud. And that means the cloud. That's what God rides on. Whenever you see God on His throne in Ezekiel, or in even when Jesus was caught up out of, in the heaven, in a cloud caught Him out of their sight. These were pictures of the canopy throne of God, whereby He moves throughout the universe, and He rules and reigns from upon the cloud. And the Bible says, the devil said, I aspire to ascend to the cloud. I will be, he says, ultimately, I will be like the Most High. He wants to be God. And the usurper is going to set up a diabolical trinity. It will start with him as a counterfeit God the Father. The Antichrist as a counterfeit Jesus, God the Son. And the false prophet we'll meet in a few moments will be the counterfeit Holy Spirit. He will be the one that speaks of the Son, like the Holy Spirit bears witness of me. The Spirit, when He comes, He will lead you into truth, and He will speak of me. You get into a church, it's all about the Holy Spirit, and it's all about signs of the Holy Spirit. You got something juxtaposed here. The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. He's all about talking about Jesus. And He's all about exalting the Lord Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the one who died for our sins. Jesus is the one who paid the sin debt. Jesus is the one God the Father ordained from eternity past in the Trinity who would be the hero in the story. He is the visible manifestation of the invisible God, and He is the one we are to worship. And so as we see in this passage in verse 2, he's incorporated all of these high qualities of the previous empires. Verse 3 said, "And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Now, some have believed that this means that the Antichrist will somehow be personally wounded and that he himself will be resurrected. I'm not sure I want to go there. I don't believe I quite embrace that. Now, I know in the Left Behind series that was set forth, and that's all fine and good. It's all projection, but for me, I want to stay as close to what's before us as I can. And the heads we already understand, this is probably the fact that this empire has been resurrected. It's a marvel. You know, everybody's excited about the resurrection of the Roman Empire, one world government. Today, it's all about being green, and it's all about being like everybody else. And America wants to be like Europe. And boy, if we could just be like them and have universal health care, if we could just be like them and have somebody up there in the government giving us a job and paying for our gas and paying our mortgage, boy, if we could just be like all the other nations. And then guess what? It's going to happen. And it ought not make you completely sad. Now, sure, we're going to grieve the fact that we're going to lose a little bit of our history, and we're going to lose a little purchase on what we have always felt so proud of in America. But it just simply means our redemption draweth nigh. The Bible says, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And you know what? If it takes 7 years for the Lord Jesus to come, put Israel back on the platform, and so much is coming together and everything's gelling as it is, guess what? That means it's probably sooner than you and I probably think. Because he's got to do it in 7 years, and things are happening so quick right now. Now, what I would say we ought to be doing about that is, he that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. We need to get busy about the work, amen? Be busy about telling those we say we love. Get a little bit kamikaze in your families and in your neighborhoods and among your friends, people you work with. You might be the only Christian who's got it clear. Devil's all about confusion. You know that, don't you? The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. The devil is. And the fact is that what he has done is he has flooded the market with nearly 200, or probably more now, than 250 different denominations of Christendom. He has confused it. You want to know what the Bible says? Well, you don't just ask just anybody. And just because they say reverend doesn't mean they even read the book. Don't mean they even know what it says. Don't mean that they even care about what it says. Because a lot of today is going on. It's all about Laodicea. It's all about the people ruling. It's all about marketing. So you want to get clear answers, you're going to have to be a searcher for a needle in a haystack, because it's going to be difficult. The devil's all about confusion. Just like Bible translations. Proliferate 50 different Bible translations, what do you got? You got a bunch of people walking around scratching their heads saying, "I don't know what to believe." You'd be very circumspect about what Bible translation you read, because some of them are really out there, and many have not called them versions but perversions, and I would concur on several accounts that I am personally familiar with. So I believe that this personal wound that was healed, and the one that everybody will be all about and excited about and applauding, is probably not a resurrection. And I'll tell you why. I don't think the devil can resurrect people. I don't think he can do that. I think he's got power, but it only goes so far. And I referenced for you in Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses in Pharaoh's court. They could do this, they could do this, and they could do this, but they couldn't do that. Came a point where they were limited in their magic, and I just don't personally think he can. That's my opinion, and you can use that for what you will, but I believe the horns are pretty apparent. I think it's all about this kingdom coming back into order. And the Bible says in verse 4, "And they worshiped the dragon." And this is what it was all about. The devil wants this worship. The word worship is the Greek word proskuneo. Kuneo, we get the word canine from, but kuneo literally means to kiss, and it more properly relates to puppies. You ever get in a bunch of puppies? You ever see a kid among a bunch of puppies? All of us can see it in our mind's eye right now, especially Mike and Deb. They can see this in their mind. The little kid sitting there being pushed over by these little puppies just licking all over their faces. Now, folks, proskuneo means that they're they're going to puppy dog toward him, toward the dragon. They're going to be so excited about what the dragon has in store, about what the devil can do for them. Now, folks, I'm telling you, it's pretty remarkable. You got to remember, the Christians have been catapulted out of here. Things have deteriorated not only to war and famine, but to anarchy. Everybody's killing each other. And you got somebody who comes in and starts solving problems in breakneck speed like a leopard, doing it with the grace of a lion and doing it with the lumbering power of a bear. And he makes it happen. And the Bible says they worship the dragon. Not only did they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, but they worship the beast. Saying, who's like the beast? Who's like this guy? Who's able to make war with him? And what it really boils down to, in essence, is this. He's winning. I'm on his team. I don't want to be on the outside looking in. You ever met people like that? Have you ever acted like that? Boy, they're the ones who are the flavor of the month. I'm going to be with them. Folks, I'm telling you, that's the way the world works. It's like whatever's popular is what we want. That's why you and I need to not be poured into the mold of this world. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way to resist the ebbs and flows of the world is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The whole world wants you to act like them. They want the church to shack up with each other. They want the church to act like nothing's wrong with immorality today. They want the church to act like there's nothing wrong with anything anymore. Do you know we have one last bastion and it's pedophilia, and even that is even in the cards for those who have agendas to make everything perverted, normalized. This world is a mess. And when the Christians are taken out, everybody won't feel so bad about their behavior. That's why kings used to load up their courts with false prophets who tell them what they wanted to hear, because they didn't want anybody to make them feel bad. In fact, it was Nehemiah who was afraid because he was so sad.